Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, travelers, in response to Transportation Secretary Duffy's plea to dress better on flights, are showing up to the airport ready to fly in decidedly different attire. San Francisco has a new self-guided tour, and Puget Sound has a new monument. Those stories and more next in the travel news.
Uber or Lyft? Many have a preference. Many also know of a simple rideshare hack. We'll tell you all about it and how to make it work for you in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:20.
We talk about travel insurance or cancellation protection often on this program. It's an important element of travel. At 11:35, internationally known travel advocate Chris Elliott is here to tell us we might not need travel insurance on every trip.
What are your pet peeves at the airport? Not enough restrooms? Barely edible food? No place to sit? We'll grumble and complain about all those things that we don't like at the airport. Coming up at 11:50.
Thanks for popping in to say hi on a Saturday morning. Here with things to make you a smarter traveler, we are the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Hey there, my friends. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Thanks for coming along. Our website is travelguysradio.com. There you can find links to our special guests today and so much more on a regular basis to make you a smarter traveler. Good to see you, Mark. What's going on?
Wait a minute. Good to see you, except that we kind of sort of should be honest, I guess, and tell folks that here we are sitting here looking at each other and talking, but we already did this.
Well, we're actually doing it right now, but we actually did it yesterday.
Yeah.
We have
confused the heck out of people by now.
I know. We're live most of the time, and we really make a point of trying to do that, but Mark, running a travel company, has to travel. So yep. Why don't you tell folks so... What you can't tell them.
I can't tell them. I left with a bunch of folks this morning on another one of our mystery tours. We are headed back to the East Coast. And right now, if we left on time, we're probably somewhere about over Ely, Nevada right now. As you folks are listening to the Travel Guys, I can tell you where we're going, even though it's a mystery tour, because we've already left. We're headed back for Christmas in Virginia. We're going to Richmond, Virginia, and Virginia Beach and Norfolk. And I love the pronouncing that town, Norfolk. It always sounds like something you shouldn't say on the radio.
I know. The Anthony, you don't need to hit the dump button, okay?
Please don't. We're going to Richmond, and we're going to stay a couple of nights, flying into Norfolk tonight. And Sunday and Monday night, we're going to stay in a hotel called the Jefferson in downtown Richmond. And I have never been to the Jefferson before. At Christmas time. But it is my understanding, and I spoke to one of the guys who worked there yesterday, and he said, I've worked here 20 years, and he said, the Christmas decorations are over the top here, but I just have to tell you, this year they're really over the top. So this is like one of, when you see these lists of most decorated hotels for Christmas in the United States, the Jefferson is always, if not at the top, in the top two or three. So that's where we're going for a couple of nights. And while we're in Richmond, we're going to do a thing called the Tacky Lights Tour. People in Richmond just go over the top, some of them, with their Christmas lights and things that are just multitudes of just lights everywhere or just things that are outright tacky. And so we're going to do a Christmas lights tour Sunday evening and see all the tacky Christmas lights in Richmond. And then later in the week, we're going to, in Norfolk, is the USS Wisconsin is permanently docked there. And they decorate it for Christmas, all hundreds of thousands of Christmas lights. And you can go on board the ship and do all kinds of cool things. So anyway, we're going to be tooling around and seeing lights. And we're going to a thing called the Bazaar Bazaar in Richmond. It's a Christmas market. And it's been going on for years, and it's called the Bazaar Bazaar.
Have you been to this before?
Back on that.
Have you been to the Bazaar Bazaar before?
I never have. We're going to a Christmas market in a small one in Colonial Williamsburg. And so this is some pretty neat stuff on this trip. So I'll tell you all about how it went when we talk next Saturday.
All right. In the meantime, on the Travel and Entertainment Guys, we always begin our program bringing you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with the latest update, once again, here is Mark, the newsman, Hoffman.
Yo. Hey, Secretary Duffy said a couple weeks ago, and I've been giving him some grief about this, that, you know, people don't dress to fly when they go to the airport anymore. You look at pictures of people who flew 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, every man had on a coat and tie, and every lady was in high heels. And, of course, that was incredibly uncomfortable, and we don't do things like that anymore because we're a little smarter. But his point was that, you know, showing up at the airport in your pajamas and your underwear and your socks with no shoes and stuff like that was just highly inappropriate. So leave it to some of our friends who travel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any of these people, but, God, I would love to do this. Here, one lady showed up in a Barbie costume at LAX. Another one showed up in the concourse in sneakers in a long dress with an old Hollywood sort of feel with the long cigarette holder and the whole nine yards, tennis shoes.
Mm-hmm.
More than one person has shown up in pajamas.
Yeah.
An entire family showed up in Chicago the other day in pajamas to fly. So people are having a little fun with it. And airports are a stressful place. So you know what? If you're walking around in a goofy outfit in the airport, you'll probably make the rest of us laugh. And a few laughs in an airport is never a bad thing. So I say, wear your pajamas. Just as I said before, take a bath, brush your teeth, cover the essential parts. After that, I really don't care. Don't put your feet up on my seat. After that, you can do pretty much anything you want.
Well, you know, I know a lot of people that they make it a habit to dress a certain way when they fly because that's mm-hmm. that's the most comfortable. Maybe a pair
exactly.
of sweatpants that give you plenty of room and they're comfortable for sitting a long time. And here again, maybe a hoodie. How about yourself? Do you have a particular attire
well,
that you
remember,
always
remember when I'm flying like I am today on United Airlines back to Chicago and then on to Norfolk? I got to look respectable because I'm representing my company and I've got 31 people in tow. And so if something goes wrong and I have to stand up in front of somebody and say, hey, help us, why it would be nice if I had a logo on my shirt and
okay.
a name tag and
okay.
look respectable. But to your point, I don't wear hard shoes at all anymore. I went to a big convention, big National Tour Association, a convention where everybody wore a tie everywhere 10 years ago. I don't remember seeing a tie. During the entire convention, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. I have a whole drawer full of ties at my house. I'm trying to figure out whether Goodwill will take them.
Probably
because,
not.
You know, what would they do with them? So I don't really think that, you know, dressing up to fly, again, look respectable. I mean, you know, you should have on clean clothes and you should look decent. I mean, after that, a lot of us are going to be asleep anyway. As long as I can't smell you, I don't really care. I mean, right?
There you go.
I mean, you know, look, we're crammed into a metal tube hurtling through the skies at hundreds of miles an hour. So we might as well be comfortable, says the travel guy who does that all the time. Hey, what do you think the most fun city is in America, according to Wallet Hub? They do this about every couple of years. You probably can figure this one out.
The funnest city. Oh, boy. Well,
hint, it might be Tom Romano's funnest city.
Yeah, it's got to be Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's definitely Las Vegas.
But
what
I have
think?
To
Number...
I, you know, it may be labeled that, but to be honest with you, I don't really think it is. It's just kind of, it's mostly hype, you know, a lot of flashy lights.
In the separate from people from cities where people are most separated from their money list, Las Vegas would also be top of that one.
Yeah, top of that list.
Drink a lot, get hungover, lose your money. Yeah, it doesn't work for me. What do you suppose number two is? This one's pretty easy, too, if you think about it.
New York City.
Orlando.
Oh, Orlando. Okay.
Orlando, because of the... New York is 14th, so it made the top 20. Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Atlanta, New Orleans, Houston. Wow. Those are all five cities in a row in the South. San Francisco, Austin, Portland, Cincinnati. Some of the criteria, Las Vegas has the most restaurants per square foot of population. That's the first time I've ever heard that. 21 times more than Pearl City, Hawaii, which is out by Pearl Harbor.
Right.
And San Francisco, Boston, Jersey City, and Columbia, Maryland have the highest share of the population with walkable park access. So as you can see, they came up with this by quality of life. San Francisco has the most dance clubs.
What does Austin have to make this list?
The
most bars?
All I've got is the highlights here, but that would be my guess as to how Austin made it onto that list. San Francisco has a brand new self-guided trail in town. San Francisco and Travel has introduced the San Francisco Martini Trail, a self-guided tour featuring 23 locations across the city, each offering unique martini interpretations.
Fascinating.
You can trace history and the birthplace of the martini, and of course, all of this is as long as you can still be thinking, so probably the first three or four.
Yeah, they better serve the mini martinis. Martini's very strong. Alcoholic beverage, as people who drink them know.
23 stops, so I'm guessing it might take you four or five times to try to. And then you'd have to remember where you left off. Hey, listen, this is something really, really cool. Every year I take a group of people up to Puget Sound, and in Bainbridge we visit a place called the Japanese American Exclusion Memorial. I've talked about this on the air before. The Japanese people on Bainbridge were some of the first people to be taken into custody to be removed from their homes after Pearl Harbor was attacked. And it was done a little differently on that island. They thought they were going to come back to their homes, and their friends and neighbors thought they were going to come back to their homes. So they took care of their houses and stuff like that. They weren't happy to see their neighbors leave. Anyways, great story. For years and years and years, these people have hoped to have a permanent memorial. They have a temporary memorial along the waterfront. They've been raising money forever. They've been going after grants. They finally got it, and they are now constructing the Bainbridge Island Japanese American Exclusion Memorial. And so if you go to Bainbridge Island this summer, I think it's going to be done late this summer. If you go to the Bainbridge Island late this summer, there is a great history lesson waiting for you when you get off the ferry boat. So look for that, the Exclusion Memorial. We told you last week that TSA was going to start charging people, what was it, $17-$18 if you showed up and you didn't have a real ID. I guess somebody must have told TSA that that wasn't enough, because the fee has already been raised. Apparently that was just a flyer price. $45 is what they've decided on. So if you show up at the airport without a real ID or a passport, and you want to fly, it's going to cost you $45. And keep in mind that you probably are going to want to come home at some point. So it's really going to cost you $90 round trip. That might be enough incentive to get people to go out and get a real ID. At last count, about 6% of people showing up at airports didn't have one.
I did read, Chris Elliott wrote this, that if it's a short trip, like under 7 days, right, you only have to pay the $45 one time. Oh. But if you're out for 2, 3, 4 weeks, you're going to have to pay it twice. It's just a short trip, you might only get dinged $45. What did he call it? He called it the procrastination fee.
Yeah, good thing. I mean, if you only flew like once a year, I guess it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But I asked somebody in my office, I said, well, when your driver's license gets renewed, you'll just automatically get a real ID. No, you don't, because they need some additional ID verification. So you don't automatically get it. You've got to go through jump through the hoops and stuff like that. Anyways, if you can still fly without it, but they're going to make it more of a nuisance now. So because it's a problem for them and it slows down the line and it messes up their operation. So they want you to get a real ID, and they're going to charge you more if you don't have one. Vegas tourism this year, they're down like a million visitors. which for most places would be a huge number. But for Las Vegas, it's like 2.5% of the number of visitors. And considering that Vegas is really popular with Canadians, and a third of them are not coming, and 10% of the other international visitors are not showing up. So the fact that Vegas is only off 2.5%, I mean, I'm just looking at it from my point of view, but would seem to me like they're doing pretty well. But they're going to try to do some things a little different down there. This is really interesting. One guy who owns a casino down there, one of the smaller casinos, he says that we need to return to the nostalgic business model of offering comps. He said, we've gotten away from that. He said, I used to walk around the club, and when I saw my best customers, I hand them a chit for dinner, or offer to let me play their next bet on the table or something like that. He said, we don't do enough of that anymore. He says, we're taking our best customers for granted. No. And he said, even people who only show up once in a while, he said, they bring good revenue. I like that. If they bring good revenue, in other words, they drop a lot of money. We ought to be taking better care of them. And I thought that was kind of an old schoolish. It's not a current corporate approach to things. What if you had people walking around the floor saying, "Yeah, this guy's, we can see on the camera this guy's been gambling for 5 hours. So why don't we offer him a few free dinner, and then maybe he'll gamble for a couple more hours."
There you go. They offer you minimal comps. You know.
Yeah.
$10 free play. You know how far $10 free play will go?
It's exactly.
Like nowhere. Exactly. And and then occasionally they'll give you a room way out in the middle of nowhere with a comp, and then they'll charge you that $65 resort fee.
This is going to age me, but Bill Hara has been gone for a long time now. I think he died sometime around in the, I want to say, early 80s. I was in business, but I've been in business forever. So anyways, Bill Hara, for whom Hara's clubs were named. If you go up there now, it doesn't look anything like Hara's, and the Hara's in Reno is an apartment house building. So, but at one point in time, Hara's was really the deluxe place when you went to Tahoe. If you had a lot of money or you wanted to be taken, speaking of comps, you went to Hara's. Well, Bill Hara was known as a reasonably generous man. He had about 42 wives, but he was known as a pretty generous man. And I mean, after all, he took people's money for a living. So when the weather turned bad in Lake Tahoe, he would go out and people couldn't get home. He would turn the ballrooms he would break out hundreds of cots and let people sleep for free in his hotel and create a breakfast buffet and feed everybody and stuff like that. And, you know, what a smart man, because I heard those stories time after time after time from my customers. And here I am repeating it to you a couple of generations later. So, you know, if you're in the gambling business, if you run a gambling casino, my goodness, you know, I would think that more than any business, you would want to make sure that you showed your customers that you were generous.
For sure. Remember when we had Wayne Newton on for an interview, and he talked about Bill, and he gave him a Cadillac or something. He gave him his car.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want one of his ex-wives to get her hands on it. So he says, Wayne, do me a favor. Here, take the keys to this car. It's yours.
Bobby Gentry was maybe his last wife. But anyway, he had quite a few. We've disintegrated here into a gossipy talk show. Sorry about that, folks. A U.S. senator has pushed, you know, some of the air traffic controllers who had perfect attendance during the shutdown they got a bonus, as many of you know. And a senator from Illinois, Tammy Duckworth, is pushing. She says that every air traffic controller should get some kind of a bonus. She says, because, you know, some of these people. So she said, what if a kid was sick and you missed a couple of days, but you pulled 20 extra shifts during the shutdown? Would you not be deserving of the bonus, even though you didn't have a perfect attendance record? You were like 90% attendance with 40% bonus attendance, you know, something like that. So anyway, I think that probably if they'd have said beforehand, you know, anybody who's perfect will take care of you, but they didn't. And I just think it might be nice. Imagine sitting in a room next to a guy who got, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 extra in his pocket and you didn't. I mean, that to me seems like it doesn't create a positive work environment. I would never do something like that myself. So anyway, there's a senator who's saying you ought to be a little bit more fair. And finally, last item in the news today, Susie Stocking and the folks with the Wreath Project are looking for some volunteers for next weekend. They are going to lay out the wreaths. They are asking on Saturday the 13th, rain or shine, starting at 7:30 a.m. It's at the Sacramento Valley Memorial Cemetery near Vacaville. So if you'd like to go down and help them put the wreaths out on the graves of the fallen, you can do that. And I might suggest that it will probably be one of the more memorable things you would do during the holiday season. So if you're looking for something that really will make you feel good, I did it once. I would love to do it again. I won't be home. But next Saturday, the 13th, starting at 7:30 a.m., you can just show up at the cemetery and help out. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the travel and entertainment guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Look, a Merry Christmas from Rudy's Hideaway Lobster House. You know, Rudy's Hideaway has all of your holiday needs covered. In-house banquets and off-site catering is available for all of your party needs. Plus, this month, now, last month, November, this particular offer was only available if you said the travel guys sent you. But you know what? For December, just because, if you purchase a $100 gift card, you get a $20 gift card for yourself. And this offer is good through December 23rd. So what a deal. You know, you buy a $100 gift card for a friend, and then you, well, heck, buy two. And you'll get $40 worth of extra swag with Rudy's Hideaway written right on the front of it to use to get some fine food. Rudy's Hideaway Lobster House, the place in Sacramento for hand-cut steaks, jumbo lobster tails, and gifts for the whole family since, believe it or not, 1970. A little bit longer than Mark's been in business. Can't believe it.
Just a little longer, yep.
All right. Highway 50 at Hazel. We'll see you there. Okay, coming up next, let's talk Uber, no Lyft. Uber, no Lyft. Or maybe something else. Next, here on The Travel Guys. Almost live and in living color, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the travel and entertainment guys. Thanks for coming along. Okay, Mark, what's your favorite, Uber or Lyft?
I'd rather be in a taxi cab.
All right. You know,
because I can walk up to the taxi cab and get in it.
Yep.
And go. And taxi cabs are fewer and further between now, but they're a lot cleaner than they used to be. Uber and Lyft have forced taxi cabs to move into the modern day era, and so they're a lot cleaner now, and oftentimes they're a lot more convenient. And I we're going to talk about this here in this segment specifically, the pricing with, you know, and I get into a taxi cab, I can see there on the meter it says, you know, it's $3.50 to start and $3.50 a mile, and the waiting time is so much. So I know we're going about, you know, 8 miles away. It's going to cost me about $30. With Uber and Lyft, it's a crapshoot every time you pull it up, is it not? I mean, you open up your phone and you tell them where you want to go, and bingo, up comes the price. And they, you think
they do that dynamic pricing thing. The busier it is, the more they charge you. Do taxis not do the same thing?
They do not. They do not. Generally, they have a meter, and the flag drops, and you get charged for whatever. Now, obviously, if you get in traffic and you're waiting, then it takes longer to get there. The ride is going to cost more. But I find frequently with Uber or Lyft, the same ride on the same time on a different day can vary tremendously. And you say, well, that must be because there's more traffic or there's fewer cars out in the area or whatever, but none of that ever seems to really jive.
No.
And so what I'm going to suggest to you is really what I read here in an article from one of the news feeds that I get, and it is that you should be, every time you take Uber or Lyft, you should be very flexible. Pull up Uber, see what it costs. You don't have to order the ride. It'll tell you what it's going to cost for you to go from point A to point B. Now, quickly, before you hit go, pull up Lyft. Put the same parameters in and see what happens. I did this before we went on the air today. I sat down and did this, a ride from my office to my home, which is about 5 miles here in Rancho Cordova. Uber was $8.81. Lyft was $12.60, almost 50% more. So I waited 5 minutes. Then I put the same parameters in and did the same thing. This time, Uber came up at $11 and Lyft came up at $9. So they flip-flopped literally within a matter of minutes. And I'm not necessarily saying that they're up to something, finagling something here, but what I'm suggesting is that this little tip is really right. It's the easiest hack in history. You've got both of those apps on your phone. Literally in 30 seconds, you could check to see which ride was more. And some cases where a ride is $30-$40, the difference could be pretty sizable. I've had this happen. I only did it once myself because the Uber ride was $40-something to the airport. I pulled up Lyft. It was about $12 cheaper. So I have no preference between the two, but I'm just suggesting to you that this might not be a bad idea to take a look at both of them before you're taking a ride, particularly if it's a longer ride that's going to cost you quite a bit of money. Lyft doesn't have as many cars, but guess what? As we both know this, many drivers drive for Uber and Lyft.
They do.
My guess is that you could pull up those two and get two entirely different prices, perhaps for the exact same car.
Well, okay, there's your hack for rideshare from the Travel Guys. More to come. We'll have our Sports Leisure Minute coming up, and then we're joined by internationally known travel expert and columnist, consumer advocate Chris Elliott. Stick around.
It's early in December, and if you're a baseball fan, you probably feel like the late Rogers Hornsby, who said, "What do you do when there's no baseball?" And he answered, "I sit at the window and wait for spring." At Sports Leisure, spring has arrived. The baseball schedule for the Giants games to go from Sacramento to see the Giants at Oracle Park has been announced for next year. So if you are a Giants fan, you can give us a call, or better yet, you can go to our website at sportsleisure.com and find a list of the ball games, or give our office a call and we will send you an entire complete list. It kicks off with an overnighter to see the Yankees are going to open the season in San Francisco next year in very, very late March, so we will have an overnight trip to go down and see two games. If you're a baseball fan, give us a call at Sports Leisure Vacations, 916-361-2051. That's 916-361-2051 or sportsleisure.com.
Hey there, my friends. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. Remember now, links to our special guest and so much more, always available at TravelGuysRadio.com. Joining us once again, all the way from New Zealand, a whole day and change ahead of us, is our consumer advocate and travel writer and friend of the Travel Guys. Welcome back, Mr. Chris Elliott.
Well, hello there. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Just so we can look into the future, how's tomorrow?
Oh, it's pretty good. No, everything's fine, just like yesterday. Yeah. And can't complain.
Yeah, well, if you want to take a look back, we can tell you that, you know, if you're forgetting what happened yesterday, it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, so for those of just tuning in, Chris, as I mentioned, is in New Zealand, and it always takes us a while to do the math and figure out what time it is there, what time it is here, so we can hook up for these interviews. We're looking at 11:15 a.m. in New Zealand as yeah. we're at 2:15 on a the day before here in Sacramento.
It's like it's 22 hours, I think. It's something like that. Yeah.
Now, Chris, when we talked to you last, you were in the States, and then prior to this, you were like in Fiji and such. How do you and the boys, your bodies and your sense of reality work out with such dramatic time changes?
Oh, well, we're subject to the same laws of physics that everyone else is. So if we burn the candle too hard on both ends, we get sick. And so when we went actually from the west coast of the United States to Tahiti, and then from there, after about a week and a half, we went to Fiji. Both of those places, of course, are in the South Pacific. But one is on the other side of the dateline. When we got to Fiji, we all got very, very sick.
Wow.
So we ended up spending about a week just laying in our villas and being, I know it sounds like hard life, but we were very sick. And there were a couple of days where I just didn't even eat. I just slept all day. So you have to really, I mean, it's a little bit of a cautionary tale. You have to pace yourself when you travel. And so being on the road for as long as we are, we're very grateful now because this is our off month. We're in Auckland and we have no plans to do anything except just hang out, have fun during the holidays, eat cookies, and then get back on the road. We'll probably end up going to Vanuatu and then down to Wellington.
Now, Chris, besides your own website, I know you write for Travelers United, and I've seen your name on things with USA Today. So you have a variety of other outlets that you pen things for, correct?
Yes. Travelers United, I actually helped start that nonprofit, and but I also I'm syndicated, so I write for a lot of places. You'll probably see me in the Seattle Times, USA Today is another one, the Dallas Morning News, and I have another column that goes out into like the Miami Herald and the Chicago Tribune. So I'm everywhere, and it's great actually. That's always been something that I've aspired to, is to be more nationally syndicated. It's a little more job security than just writing for one outlet, but I also enjoy reaching a lot of people. Yeah. And that's something you need right at a time like now.
Yeah. Instead of one person deciding that they don't like you anymore and suddenly you're out on the streets with a cup in your hand. All right. Let's get with it here. You wrote a great article about travel insurance. And the title was One Mistake Travelers Make After Booking Their Trip and How to Fix It. So I'm curious about that. But you also had some comments in here that not every trip requires travel insurance. And in fact, in some cases, it's not really good value. So what is the one mistake travelers make after booking their trip?
Well, it's interesting you should say that. So the mistake really was that people don't buy their travel insurance when they book their trip. And the reason you would want to do that is because you only have about 2 weeks to buy the insurance before you can. After that, you actually can't get some of the benefits that you would from travel insurance. And I'm referring mostly to the pre-existing or the existing conditions clause. You can't get that insured. So most people think of travel insurance as an afterthought, and what you really should be doing is thinking about it at the same time that you book your vacation. But now that I think about what you just said, I think really the biggest mistake people make is assuming that they need travel insurance for every trip, and you really actually don't.
Well, how do you decide which trips where it would be beneficial and others a waste of money?
Well, there's a checklist. One of them is, does it meet a certain threshold of spending? Usually it's about $5,000. If you're spending less than that, usually insurance is not going to make much of a difference. The other thing is, do you have prepaid and non-refundable travel expenses? For example, a non-refundable airline ticket, a non-refundable tour, a non-refundable cruise. Those are things that can be insured. If you're just getting in a car and driving to grandma's for Christmas, that can't be insured. So you shouldn't get insurance for something like that, because what are you going to file a claim on? Now, there may be some benefits, for example, a trip disruption or interruption coverage, where if you can't make it to grandma's in time and you have to get a hotel room, you might be covered. But generally speaking, though, insurance is created for prepaid and non-refundable expenses. If you don't have those, you probably shouldn't do it. The other thing that people don't remember is that they sometimes have coverage through their credit card. A credit card coverage is not the greatest on the planet, but it can cover you. And you don't want to have double coverage. You don't want to pay for something that you're only going to use once, twice. So always check to see if you have one of those special credit cards that has created for travelers and you're paying $1,000 a year for it, you probably already are covered.
Our guest on Travel Guys today is internationally known columnist and travel advocate Chris Elliott. Chris is joining us from New Zealand. How was that? Is that flowery enough?
I like the internationally known. Thank you very much.
I see. Well, there was a guy in Canada said he knew who you were. So, I figured that was internationally known. And to your point, Chris, about not every trip needs to be insured, if you're buying an airline ticket and going 100,000 miles from home and spending two nights in a hotel and renting a car and coming back home, you probably don't need travel insurance for that, because guess what? The airline ticket is probably refundable, or at least refundable as a credit up until departure time. The hotel can be canceled until a day or two beforehand. Diddle with it with the rental car without charges. So unless you've entered into some sort of agreement where you've gotten a special price and you're more restricted in your with cancellation penalties, in many cases you don't need to cover yourself, because the cancellation policies of the things you've purchased, to your point about a prepaid cruise or something like that, but with a hotel room, you can cancel it anyway. So in some cases, the cancellation policies of the vendors you're doing business with don't make travel insurance a good value.
Yeah, and you mentioned something that I should probably repeat. If it's if you're only going 50 miles or less from your home, travel insurance won't even cover you. You have to actually, that's why it's called travel insurance, you have to actually travel.
You got to go somewhere.
So if you're just making, you got to go somewhere. So if you're doing a short trip and it's just, 20 miles, 30 miles from where your home is, and even if you have a really good policy, they will not cover you if it's less than 50 miles from your home. The other thing, too, is, of course, the credit card coverage doesn't work unless you use that credit card to buy the ticket with. So make sure that you're actually using the credit card. Doesn't count if you just have the card. You have to actually use it for the purchase.
Chris, I have to ask you a couple of things. Number one, you personally, and here again, you travel for work, and this is what it is, you have your two sons who travel and go to school and are you're homeschooled. Do you buy travel insurance? When was the last time you put some money out for anything having to do with travel insurance?
Oh, do I ever? I have a policy right now that I renew every 6 months with Fay. That's one of the newer travel insurance companies, and they do some really neat things with their app. So I like that a lot. They're like they call themselves an insurtech company. I've also used Allianz. They're really good. I had an annual policy with Allianz, and I can recommend them. The one thing that we haven't mentioned yet was evacuation coverage. So I use something called MedJet. And what MedJet does is it allows you to if you have a medical emergency, it will actually it will provide an evacuation service to your hospital. So it's not just you don't just get taken to the nearest hospital. You get taken all the way home, which is really great. We used MedJet when we were stuck in France during the pandemic, and it was pretty awesome. It took care of absolutely everything and got us home.
What about insurance cancel for any reason?
Yes, it does exist, but there's a couple of big buts. First of all, cancel for any reason is about twice as expensive as the normal garden variety travel insurance. So instead of paying 6 to 8% of the cost of your prepaid and non-refundable expenses, you're paying somewhere between 8 and 12%. So you have to factor that into your budgeting. The other thing is that there are some limitations, but the biggest limitation is that you're only going to get about 50% of the price of your prepaid non-refundable expenses back if you file a claim. And with some of them, it might come in the form of a credit that expires. So you have to really watch the fine print on those.
So cancel for any reason. Just to clarify here, if you're buying cancellation insurance from an insurance company, cancellation protection, whatever it's called, generally there is a list of reasons that you can cancel. There's a death in the family, you have a medical emergency, and it can be documented, things like that, and you can file a claim and collect on your policy. Whereas cancel for any reason means that if you get up tomorrow morning and you don't like the weather, you can cancel your trip. But not only does it cost you more to protect that, but the protection is not the same. So just realize that if you decide on that sort of coverage, is that, yes, it covers a wider variety of things. But and the other thing that you have to really when you're buying insurance, I really think, Chris, is that you have to remember that these companies are in business to make a profit. So they're not paying out 100 cents on every dollar that they take in, because if they did, they wouldn't be in business anymore. So that's why in some cases you have to stop and think, do I really want to insure this? Does it really make sense to protect this? Or could I basically self-protect myself, and unless it's the very last minute, it's not going to cost me much? Am I on track there?
No, you absolutely are. Or I should say, yes, you absolutely are. And I should have mentioned at the outset that cancel for any reason is, it works exactly like that. It's so with a garden variety travel insurance policy, you have what are called named exclusions. And those are the things that essentially the travel insurance company will cover. It'll cover, for example, a cancellation of your flight. You know, it's very specific. It's a certain number of hours that you have to be delayed. But for cancel for any reason, you can wake up in the morning of the day of your trip and say, you know, I'm just not feeling it. And you can file a claim and get 50% of your prepaid and non-refundable expenses back. But like I said, there are some things that you have to be aware of, that some limitations even on that type of policy. And it is considerably more expensive, too.
Any other wisdoms that we should share with people? Part of your article talked about expert strategies for buying a better policy in 2026. You talked about risks and thinking beyond the policy. And you mentioned at the beginning of the interview, you know, don't wait too long. Any other wisdom we should share with people here before we send you back to New Zealand?
Well, one of the things that I mentioned in this article was the annual policy. We've talked about that very briefly. You might be able to save a lot of money if you're traveling a lot, you know, taking a lot of, for example, of your tours. If you're taking more than two of them, you might benefit from getting an annual policy, and that lasts all year, as the name would imply. And so you don't have to buy an individual policy for each trip. And a lot of, like I said, I used to have an annual policy with Allianz. It worked really well. And it's something that I definitely recommend if people travel more often.
I should probably look into that, Tom, for my sports leisure travelers. I'm guessing there are folks who take 8 or 10 of our trips a year. And I'm sure there are people listening to this program who travel, you know, once or twice a month. I mean, I know people who travel with us, travel with other companies also. So it might be worth their while. I'll look into it for them. And then maybe we can report back. Chris, what's the next destination after New Zealand?
Well, we'll be here for the holidays, and I think we're headed to Vanuatu up in the South Pacific, and then back down into New Zealand, Wellington, probably Queenstown, and then off to Australia.
Wow.
Awesome.
Is New Zealand one of your favorite spots?
It is. I was here last year. It's great. It's actually one of my favorite places for this time of year because it's the middle of summer. So you have, like, you know, 13 hours of daylight and nice warm weather. And it's a kind of late spring here right now. We're really loving it.
Remember, friends, you can follow Chris and sign up for his newsletter and so much more. We'll link him right there at travelguysradio.com, Mark.
Yes, Elliott.org. Chris has not only regular newsletters, but also a special subscription-only section to his newsletter, where you can get even more good stuff. So if you want to be a smarter traveler, Elliott.org is a place that you should hang out fairly frequently, because there's a lot of good stuff there and not a lot of BS. There's not a lot of trolls and people running around there. It's just good, solid information and a lot of nice people. So, Chris, thank you for your time again. Very generous. We appreciate it. And we'll hopefully catch up with you in the South Pacific somewhere down the road.
Sounds good.
What a life. Chris Elliott, consumer advocate, world traveler, friend of the travel guys. It's, I tell you, I can't imagine what a life like that would be, traveling the world with your two boys.
Yeah, it's two. And you know, the two guys have very different personalities. We should post, I'll get Chris's permission. They do a podcast once a week, and I'll get Chris's permission. It's a a video podcast to put it up there so that you can see his two boys, because they're very close in age, but they're incredibly different in personality. That must be fascinating. Three guys sharing a hotel room, traveling around the planet. I can only imagine. There must be some really interesting situations. All right. Coming up next here on the Travel Guys, as we make our last lap, we are going to talk about pet peeves at the airport. What are things that just drive you crazy when you go to the airport? We have a list. See how your list compares to ours next on the Travel Guys.
Okay, as Mark said, the final lap here in the Travel and Entertainment Guys for this Saturday. Got one more segment to get through here, Mark, and I think this is going to be a good one. What do we have?
Well, a lot of things are written. There are, of course, lots of bloggers and influencers and people who have their own outlet to share their thoughts with you. And a lot of them do that when they are traveling. And at this time of the year, you tend to get a lot of people who are what I would call not professional travelers. They are holiday travelers. They travel yep. once or twice a year, or, you know, if somebody in the family is sick or something, there's some sort of emergency or a graduation or a wedding or something, they travel.
Yep.
And otherwise, they pretty much stay at home. And so now here they are out infecting the rest of us.
That's not a very nice thing to say.
Well, yeah, it's really and true. I've been traveling for so long now that it doesn't really bother me to get behind somebody who's not prepared at security or something like that. That is one of the biggest pet peeves that people mentioned, according to Hannah Sampson from the Washington Post. She said that clueless passengers, impossible terminals, and more airport phenomena grind up her gears. But she says the worst thing is being behind somebody in the security line. She says, particularly in the TSA pre-check line, who waits until they get right up to the security machine and to start unloading their pockets. And she's like, why couldn't you have done that in line? Or why couldn't you have done that before you? I mean, when you got out of your car, couldn't you have had a bag that you put everything in your pockets in and you walked into the terminal and there you go? And I thought, wow, that's a pretty good idea. I hadn't thought of that before. I usually, you know, cram it all in my coat pocket or in the front of my backpack or something. But legitimate point, have you been in front of those people at security?
I have, and so is everybody else. By the way, folks, just so you'll know, Mark is not as grumpy and hateful towards people that only fly once in a while as he might pretend. You know, it's just show business, my friends. He is a very, very nice man, and he would help them out, help them find all that, whatever is causing the beeping. Anyway, yes, like I say, everybody has, even if it wasn't a situation where, at an airport, but let's say mm-hmm. just going into a concert and finding your ticket. Nowadays, right. though, everything has changed dramatically. And it may continue to change as everything has gone from ticketless to on the phone.
Exactly. So you're at the airport now. Other pet peeves. People who refuse to use headphones. This has got to be like the number one, not only at an airport, but anywhere else. Somebody who thinks that whatever they want to listen to is probably what you want to listen to. So crank it up and let's let everybody within 50 feet know what it is that I'm doing. For God's sake, use your headphones. Not enough power outlets. This is happening more and more. You know, everybody's got two or three gadgets they want to plug in, and some airports still haven't upgraded the seating areas yet. So now everybody is running around looking for the same outlets. People who get stuck in airports for long periods of time, no place to sleep. In many places, the chairs are specifically set up so that there are bumps and things that discourage people from spreading out over three or four of them, no matter how long that they have to be there. Not enough seats by your gate. This happens all over the place, yeah, especially when you get to the end of a terminal. There's five gates, and there's only two gates worth of seating, and that wasn't enough to start with. So now you've got all of these people just hovering around, and as people are getting off of planes, it's even worse. Airports that put concessions in the middle of the walkways. They're starting to do this in Sacramento. We had these beautiful wide walkways. Now they're putting concession stands and other things like that in the middle, which only makes it harder for people to walk through the terminals. Tiny bathroom stalls. You've got a carry-on bag a wheelie bag and you're trying to get into the restroom and get into the stall and get the door closed behind you. Were those stalls not designed by anybody who ever flew or traveled with a carry-on bag? That's what I'm thinking. Anyway, those are just a few of the things that grouse veteran travelers when they're out on the highway. See what ones are on your list next time you're at the airport. In the meantime, it's time for us to get the heck out of here. Dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. We'll see you next Saturday at 11 a.m.
The traveler is always leaving town. He never has